The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, to my left. Two-finger salute.
Mm-hmm.
Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing good.
All right, ready to play this game yet? Let's kick it off.
Let's go.
Oh, it's only Tuesday.
The big game?
The big game.
That one, Gil?
Yeah, that one. It's 5 days away still. On the show today, Drew Densick from NBC Sports Bet the Edge, and of course, the Deep Dive podcast will join us, talk Super Bowl 59 and a little association, National Basketball Association, that is. Super Bowl betting history, how do we want to tackle this? You know what I have to add to the history? The history of halftimes. Mm. Are you familiar with this at all? We always talk about the history of props. You ever know how these halftime shows like were born? This is a fascinating story.
No, I actually don't.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that as well. But do's and don'ts as well on the show today about Super Bowl betting. Will Hill will join us, all of his plays for Super Bowl 59 and beyond. Nick Whalen from RotoWire from New Orleans. He's in New Orleans, correct?
He is in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Nick Whalen doing big things in New Orleans. Nawlins, by the way.
I want to say he'll be live from Media Row, but I don't know if I can promise that because I think there's some sketchy connections going on down there.
Yeah. Is Drew in New Orleans also? We don't know.
I don't think so. Okay. he didn't tell me, but that's a good question. I don't know.
Also, we'll try to get the answer to the question, why is Drew not on Twitter anymore?
Yeah.
I'm very fascinated
by that. I don't know what that story is.
Oh, that's all about. Can we start with a couple moves in the NFL yesterday? Not moves, but, well, sort of newsworthy stories. And I don't know if this was inspired by Luka's trade from the Mavericks to the Lakers or how this happened, but Myles Garrett has finally had enough in Cleveland. He's like, I want out of here. I need a trade. Myles Garrett, who finished second in sacks last year with 14.5 of them, sixth in pass rush, win rate 21.5% this past season, saying publicly that he has no intent, that he wants out, but he does have 2 years left on his deal, and the Browns are saying, we have no intention of trading you.
Yeah.
So there's that. What they could get for Myles Garrett is where this gets interesting, because I think, you know, we talked about Luka for a segment plus yesterday. But maybe this ends up being, if this was inspired by, well, if Luka Doncic is going to get traded, maybe I shouldn't be so loyal to one team and all that. I don't know. I'm drawing a connection where maybe there isn't one. But if this ends up being, if we ever find out from Myles Garrett, that's what inspired me. This could be the biggest thing for the Luka trade, because it's like, okay, what team, right? When you do the whole, what team could use Myles Garrett, it's all about teams that are so close to winning a Super Bowl that they feel like they need one piece, or a team that's trying to capitalize on a quarterback on a rookie deal. I'm talking about you, Washington. But really, Detroit, Philly, could you imagine if Philly got Myles Garrett?
I mean, who could use Myles Garrett? Everybody.
Everybody.
Right? Everybody.
But the point being that the cost of getting Myles Garrett, if the Browns do relent at some point, right, is going to be multiple first-round picks, one would assume. So a middling team or a team at the bottom of the league isn't trading that for Myles Garrett, because what's the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to trade that kind of capital, you need to be on the doorstep.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because I think the way I took this yesterday, especially with him releasing a statement thanking everybody, my goals to win, I very much took that, Gil, as I am done here in Cleveland, no matter how this plays out. Like, I will sit out whatever it needs to happen.
I didn't consider that. Yeah,
That's the way I took it. It's move me where I'm sitting for the start of next season.
For the old heads, too. I mean, you know, I remember this is the spring of 1988. The Washington Redskins traded 2 first round draft picks to the Chicago Bears for Wilbur Marshall at that time. Wilbur Marshall was part of the Super Bowl shuffle team that won the 85, the Super Bowl after the 85 season, Super Bowl 20 with the Bears. And this was a few years later.
The Super Bowl shuffle. That's why I can't laugh whenever it gets brought up.
We ain't out here looking for trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. I'm sorry.
It was so bad.
That was live looking.
So bad.
So they acquired Wilbur Marshall, and this was a Washington team that had won a second Super Bowl, you know, the previous year. And they got Wilbur Marshall, and they end up winning 3 years later with Wilbur Marshall as a key cog in that Super Bowl defense. So I'm just saying, like, for some players, if you are a team that is either at the mountaintop or on the doorstep, I'm mixing metaphors, or are trying to capitalize on a rookie contract, like, this is worth it. By the way, what's going on with my shirt? Let me button this right here.
Thanks. All I'm thinking now is what was worse is the Super Bowl shuffle or the Seminole rap, because they were both all-time bad.
Oh, there are so many, like, poor attempts at rap songs by football teams. Like, Eric Dickerson and the Rams did
once. They were the one. Yeah, they
and
had
it's
one.
Just awful. Like, there's so many of them bad. But the Super Bowl shuffle is, of course, the standard bearer of all. Anyway, it wasn't only Myles Garrett. Then then Cooper Kupp comes out and says, yeah, the Rams don't want me anymore. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's a little less interesting. Cooper Kupp is going to be 32 years old when the season starts next year. However, you know, you think about Cooper Kupp's career. He's, what, 8 years deep into his career. Remember the stretch of he had three seasons in a row, 94 catches, 92 catches. And then after the 2021 season, the season where the Rams ended up winning the Super Bowl, Cooper Kupp ends up with the triple crown of receiving. Most receptions, most receiving yards, most touchdowns. 145 catches, 1,947 yards receiving, and 16 touchdowns. That was after the 2021 season. The 3 years since, he has only played a total of 33 games.
Yeah.
But when he's been on the field, he's been productive, right? 75 catches, 59 catches, 67 catches, playing 9 games, 12 games, and 12 games the last three seasons. So it's obviously the injuries, but now Cooper Kupp says, I am as healthy as I've ever been. Whether you believe that or not, a team could, I suppose, use Cooper Kupp. But one, again, same sort of thing. A team that could that finds themselves, you're not going to have to give up nearly as much in the Cooper Kupp case. But, you know, Cooper Kupp is moving on. So it's just a matter of being able to sign him. I'm not sure what kind of team signs Cooper Kupp. But if he is as healthy as he claims to be, well, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, look, the career health issues will definitely be a red flag for some teams and you know, probably won't even consider him. But there will definitely be interest in Cooper Kupp with what done. I mean, I think
for sure.
Yeah, one of the comparisons that just came to my mind is just Adam Thielen leaving Minnesota, right? And we kind of wondered, hey, there's a bunch of injuries here. Wasn't the best wide receiver on his team anymore after he was for a while, right? What's the interest level going to be? And look, he's made a difference and helped out Bryce Young when he's been on the field for Carolina. He's had his own injury issues there as well. But I would expect there to be some demand out there for Cooper Kupp. It will be interesting to see at what level can he return to.
Cooper Kupp as a wide receiver one, maybe not so exciting, but Cooper Kupp as a wide receiver two,
sure.
Opposite somebody, man, come on.
Two or three? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But the Myles Garrett thing is tantalizing because some team out there, and it's going to be a big name team, is going to try to make a move for Myles Garrett. Whether the Browns relent or not, we shall see. Yesterday, I've often talked about the old valet at my building. Antonio Pierce used to use there, used to live there, and the comedy ensued, right? Antonio Pierce, delicious. Everybody knows that story. So yesterday, I'm at the valet. By the way, the Arsenal fan, Kim, I always refer to him when Paul Carr's on. He got fired. He dented two cars. So apparently after you dent the second car, you're out of there. So he's gone. But we have a nine.
What was the time in between? You know what I mean?
Great question. I don't know the answer.
Because if it's like, you know, I hit one week and then I hit one the next week, then okay, you're toast. But if it was like a year ago.
I don't think that matters. I think once you dent a second car, I'm not sure the time lapse matters between first and second.
High level of standard at your building. Yeah.
Anyway, we have this young kid, Eric, who is a Niners fan. And yesterday he's getting the old car and he goes, who you got in the Super Bowl? And I said, I'm not betting against Mahomes was my very quick response. I was trying to get out there. And he goes, well, I'm laying it all out there. He goes, I'm betting all the props, man, because it's the last game of the season. And he goes, coin flip, baby. Fifth year in a row. I've lost 4 years in a row on the coin flip. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, this is a great reminder to me, and it should be to all of us here, right, who are doing a show,
oh, man,
that we are oftentimes speaking to folks who are just, this is what they love doing. So he's betting the coin flip. He said he's lost it 4 years in a row. I go, what are you betting? Tails? He goes, I'm going to go heads this year. He's very excited about it, right? He said it in that tone.
If you've done it 4 years in a row and lost 4 years in a row, you think you would have a side you go every time. You know what I mean? Like if you keep.
No, he's bouncing around. He says, I'm going to go heads this year. He's like super excited about it. And I said to him, I go, how much juice are you laying? And his response to that, Kelly, was $200.
Yeah.
So he didn't really understand the question either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't really understand the question.
What's the.
But it's a reminder, right? So I said to him, I said, you realize, Eric, I said, the coin flip, betting on the coin flip, you are betting on a literal coin flip. That's my line to him. And that really kind of went over his head too. He wasn't interested. So he's like, he's betting the coin flip. I never got it. I never got the answer to how much juice he's laying. But Kelly, this is just it. People, it's the last. We talk about the behavior of a Super Bowl. The historical behavior of bettors during a Super Bowl is that during the regular season, most casual bettors will bet the underdog plus the points. And for whatever reason, as sort of reflected by I'm going all in on the coin flip, he's all about betting, you know, as most do, the dog on the money line. That's how most bettors behave on the Super Bowl, because it is, people do view this as the last hurrah, right? The last hurrah. And so let me just go crazy and bet it all. And I just think maybe the biggest PSA we've given in the last couple of weeks is just because it's there, right, doesn't mean you have to unload on this.
It doesn't. The coin toss has evolved, actually, over even just the past 3-4 years since me and you have been doing a lot of this, right? Because I just went to double check something. If you want to bet the coin toss at a book that does even money on both sides, like DraftKings is, go for it.
Knock yourself
care.
Out. Knock yourself
care.
Out.
But don't go to a book that, you know, might be a rival of DraftKings where you're laying -104 on each side.
Oh, yeah, that's not so bad anymore.
Remember, even that's not
remember
so bad.
Remember, there used to be some -120s out there.
Yeah, it was bad. And I feel like 108 was standard.
People would have no trouble laying it either. Anyway, Drew Dinsick on the other side. We'll do some Super Bowl history coming up. Drew Dinsick, though, with NBA and NFL thoughts, his bets at Super Bowl 59. Why is he off Twitter? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out articles like VSiN Host, Prop, and Best Bets for the Super Bowl. Greg Peterson has his college basketball best bets as well. Steve Mackinnon with Super Bowl box score projections. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best NBA props and picks, Jonathan Davis's best bets of the NHL, and Adam Burke has his best bets in college hoops. To get access to all the articles on Visa.com right now, you can sign up for $59 off an annual subscription with promo code ANG. That's $59 off an annual subscription with promo code ANG. Just head to Visa.com/subscribe to sign up today. We had tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Brandon Webb, people chiming in on the old Myles Garrett announcement that he wants to be traded. Brandon Webb says, how's this for a Luka AD comparison? Myles Garrett for Chris Jones. Everybody's trying to come up with the hypotheticals on that. New York Mets 16. Myles Garrett reunited with Baker in Tampa. Myles alongside Vita Vea. Wow. Martle J, can we do power ratings on football wraps? Where does the Greg Olson University of Miami one land? I'm not reading what you wrote.
The seventh floor crew. I just had to double check what floor it was. Yeah. The seventh floor crew. Yeah.
Skins had one too in 87, I think. Everybody after the Super Bowl shuffle, did one.
That's what that was. I forgot to ask that. It was all of them were copies of the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yes, and all
right?
of them were as poorly danced as
except
well.
Except for the seventh floor crew guys, yeah.
Yeah, they were. Oh, that was awesome.
Real back in the day, according to Isaiah Wrinkle, who's behind the glass, the great Isaiah Wrinkle. He's like, what was that old Miami one?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, gosh.
The old Miami one. Nevada's, or that time in the late 80s, was probably the golden age of the pass rushing outside linebacker. Taylor Thomas. Yes, Lawrence Taylor. Thomas, Derek Thomas. Bennett, Cornelius Bennett. Green, Kevin Green, Wilbur Marshall. Yes, it was an amazing time for that. Harkening back to the trade that Washington made for Wilbur Marshall. Two firsts, which is what it probably will take to get Myles Garrett. Drew Dinsick joins us later, ladies and gentlemen, from the Big Easy. He's down in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the host of not one, but two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, of course, is a co-host, and then NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. Drew, how you doing, man? How's New Orleans?
It is great. I am staying out of trouble, unlike the seventh floor crew. certainly, that if he thinks that old Miami scandal was something, I'm sure in the days of Gil and I, the University of Miami was known for more scandalous things. Ooh, by a long shot. So,
yeah, man. yeah, they were. Yeah. Who didn't like Luke Skywalker's involvement and all of that stuff? Listen, I'm curious, before we get into anything about Super Bowl 59. Why are you off Twitter, by the way? You've been off for like almost a half a year, right?
I honestly, I stopped participating around the election. And I would say like the last 3 years, I haven't really had much to say on there anyway, besides, wow, great game, go Rams, right? Like my contributions have been pretty vanilla. The noise and the distraction of everything that was going on around an election, I just had to take a huge, huge step away because I wasn't getting any work done. I was just absolutely, too engaged online, and I had to take a big old break. So I'll probably be back at some point, if not Twitter, some other social media platform. But, I'm going to wait until I have something valuable to say, because right now it's just, I got nothing.
Was there an election? I missed that.
Oh. Yeah, a small one. A small one. I don't know about you, Gil, but like, I spend way more. I know exactly what Drew's talking about. Like, I don't tweet that often anymore, but like, I'm on Twitter for informational purposes a lot.
I tweet out our social, right? I do our social. I'm not really commenting so much left and right. Okay. New Orleans is rank New Orleans just as far as a Super Bowl venue for you, because you go to a lot of these.
Yeah, sure. This is tied with Vegas, in my opinion, as kind of the best host city for this sort of event. Vegas was perfect just because it's like made for, it's made for entertainment, honestly. And the fact that they had things set up last year where you didn't even have to really leave the Mandalay Bay was amazing. And there's just so much to do in Vegas, and I love Vegas. So that's up there for me. But New Orleans is tied for best because, honestly, like I came in on Sunday. And I feel like I'm leaving Friday. I don't have enough time here to do everything that I want to do. Like all my favorite stuff to do in New Orleans on top of other new stuff and recommendations and everything that's going on in this town is so great. And the weather here is beautiful. We got temperatures in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Out there. Everything is walkable, which is an amazing bonus. You can Uber around if you want to, but you don't have to. The food and entertainment is world class. So absolutely no complaints. Love New Orleans.
Food, definitely you don't have enough time. So how are you betting? Remind us for Super Bowl 59. Let's start with side and total. Yeah. Are you doing anything there?
No total for me, and I am a snowball rolling downhill that the Eagles is like a very good bet.
We are down to one, by the way. We have moved a half a point, ladies and gentlemen. This is big news. Yes.
I have Eagles money line fully staked here. I don't usually full stake Super Bowls because it's a pretty efficient market. I don't agree that this one is. I think the Eagles are pretty clearly the better team. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, the Eagles have advantages pass and run. Offense and defense. I think there is a long tail that people are ignoring where the Kansas City Chiefs run defense is a problem. This Chiefs run, it's the in my opinion, at least, like what makes the Spagnuolo kind of run for this Chiefs defense pretty special is that he found pretty innovative ways to stop the run without loading the box. And when you do that, that gives you a lot more pieces on the chessboard to really make things complicated for quarterbacks, particularly in, kind of the high leverage downs. It gives you the opportunity to construct some innovative blitz packages and really frustrate some quarterbacks, right? The Chiefs run defense has pretty much eroded out from under them over the balance of the season. They were the fifth best run defense through the first half of the season. They slid to 17th best in the second half of the season. And then they gave up 0.06 EPA per carry against the Texans and the Bills. Like that is a staggering number. Like if you prorate that over the balance of a season, that would be like the 30th best run defense in football. And now you're drawing an Eagles team that not only has the most valuable and dangerous running back with the ball in his hands in the sport, but incredible scheme and just a lot of different innovative ways to make you, hurt. So I think there's a chance the Eagles just run all over these guys. And if the Chiefs defense can't stop that unit, then this could be a pretty sweet night for Philly fans.
Did the props or have the props, flowed from there?
I honestly have no interest in the props because I'm so into this Eagles.
Interesting.
I think any kind of prop angle I would take from this would be correlated to what I think the way I think the game is going to unfold, and you can get a cheaper number, you can get lower big betting into the side right now anyway. So that's my angle. The one thing I would say is that I think Barkley MVP is a proxy for Eagles money line because he's a boom or bust player, as everyone knows. And if he booms, the Eagles win. If he busts, they probably lose. Like, I don't know that there's a world here where the Chiefs, you know, load up and stop Barkley and Jalen Hurts leads them to victory. And I'm not a Kellen Moore guy. I'm not really a Jalen Hurts guy. I know that I'm taking a stand here with the worst coach and, you know, with the worst of two coaches and clearly the worst of two quarterbacks. And, I get it that all the intangibles are pointing Chiefs, but, I gotta tell you, this is a Chiefs team that I don't mind taking a stand against. I think in general, the way that they are structured, does not play well into the strength of the Eagles defenses. Or the Eagles' defensive strengths. And I think that, just in general, we could see a little bit more like a Bucks Chiefs Super Bowl than any of the ones where this is a coin flip and, the Chiefs have a 3-point lead and kneel out the final 3 minutes of the clock. So I've been throwing cold water. I threw cold water on myself all week last week. Like, I'm not going to go to this. I'm not going to go to the Super Bowl media row and just be beating my chest that there's some sort of wild inefficiency in the Super Bowl market, because there never is. But I don't think this number is right. I think the Eagles are pretty clearly the better team. And, that obviously doesn't mean they're going to win. But, I would make them pretty clearly the favorite here. And if you take intangibles and just the experience of Mahomes and Andy Reid out of the equation here, and you just looked at blind resumes of these two teams, I think you would pretty clearly come to the conclusion the Eagles should be more like a 3-point favorite. So it's to me, this is a pretty clear edge.
By the way, Drew's PSA there, your props should be correlated with your game handicap. It should go without saying, but perhaps we should verbalize that for new or newish bettors. Like, it would make sense if you're betting the Chiefs on the game, but then all of a sudden are taking overs on all kinds of Philly skill position players, right? Obviously, if Barkley, and I do agree with you, Barkley is a great proxy at +260 for MVP for an Eagles win. Is Mahomes at +120 for MVP a good enough proxy for you now on the Chiefs side?
I think I guess I would say that the way that the MVP market has turned into like a good live betting high liquidity pool. If you want to bet Mahomes MVP, I would just wait and try to find the time where they're at a where they're at a score disadvantage, because wire to wire Chiefs win would surprise me. At some point they'll be down, and if the Chiefs are down a touchdown, if they're down 10 points, then Mahomes, live MVP odds are going to be like 3-1 or higher. And I think at that point, if the Chiefs win, it's because Mahomes brings them back, and then he would get the glory.
Timmy Smith, Super Bowl record most rushing yards is 204. You can get Saquon or anybody to break that record, but Saquon is the assumption. 205 at 11-1. Yes or no? You betting that? No. Yes.
It's a huge number, but yeah.
11-1, you take it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
More with Drew next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ever had your deposit blocked, pardon me, by your bank right before a big bet? Ever needed cash at 2 a.m. for another shot at the tables but hit your ATM limit? Edge Boost has your back. Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors. With Edge Boost, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved. No more headaches. For your high rollers, you can move up to $250,000 a day on your Edge Boost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits. Never wait for a wire to clear again. It gets better every time you deposit into a gambling account. Or every time you deposit into a gambling account, you earn cashback rewards up to half a percentage point every time. All this for no usage fees and no minimum balance. It's a bank account, not a credit card, so there's no approval required or credit checks. Finally, Edge Boost has a suite of responsible gambling tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. What are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start at Tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Sign up for Edge Boost today. Always remember back in the day, coming to Vegas on a trip, you're young,
dude.
You go to the ATM at 2 a.m. You know how it is.
How many times has that happened to your life? Like, I don't even want to know.
Oh my God. By the way, I just wanted to point out, because I mentioned this at the end of the first segment with Drew, how there's, at DraftKings, let me just sort of point people, because people are like, where's that record breaking prop, right? The menus are so vast on these. If you try to search, like Kelly and I were independently, we didn't realize this. We were both searching for these fourth down props, and I probably searched for an hour and couldn't find them at any book.
Yeah, it was one of the ones I had circled. I was trying to go through everything in Vegas yesterday because I hadn't done that yet, really, because it's a ridiculous amount to the apps that we have to deal with and nothing on the desktop. Shout out MGM, though, who is finally on the desktop now.
There you go. Shout out.
It's just a lot, man. It's a lot.
So the soup on at DraftKings under Super Bowl 59 specials, they have a subcategory called what is it? Record breakers, right? So
you're going to go to Super Bowl specials and then, yeah, Super Bowl records.
Yeah, Super Bowl specials, Super Bowl records. And just to give you an idea of three of them, again, the most passing yards in Super Bowl history, 505. You remember Tom Brady threw for 505 yards in defeat against the Eagles. So just going to the phone now, if you wanted to, you know, bet on that in the record breakers category, will a player get to 506 plus yards, 506 plus yards receiving, excuse me, passing, 50-1 on the yeah. No, not listed.
Yeah, no, not listed.
Let me just point that
out. No, not listed.
Jerry Rice's record of 215 receiving yards, which Jerry Rice did. Let me just make sure I'm getting the year right. Super Bowl 23, that was a Super Bowl against the Bengals. Will any player break the Super Bowl receiving yards record, 216 plus, 20-1? And then the one I just mentioned, Timmy Smith with 204. Yes, indeed, Timmy Smith. With the great Doug Williams Skins winning Super Bowl back on Super Bowl 22, will anybody get 205 plus? It's not listed as will Saquon. Will anybody get 205 plus? That is 11-1. We bring back Drew Dinsick now, who joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Before we move on, you wanted to say the fan experience. You wanted to add something there in New Orleans?
Well, I was just going to kind of give you guys boots on the ground vibe check.
Please.
There's a lot of Chiefs apathy. 9 out of 10 conversations I've had have been about the Mavericks Lakers trade. Everybody wants that opinion on what do you think of that Luka Doncic trade? There's a general kind of kind of villain mentality building in the Chiefs locker room where they are kind of embracing that. So you know, as far as intangibles and vibes go, that's got me a bit concerned. As again, I'm fully loaded Eagles here. The fan kind of ratio is about 90-10 Philly. Just in general, the demand for tickets is down. The cost for tickets is down. The cost for hotels is astronomical. Just in general, I think there's going to be a pretty healthy Eagles bias in the
Interesting. Interesting. What is your opinion? That's a very natural transition. What was your opinion on Doncic on the Doncic trade? Is it any different from anybody else's?
I mean, you texted me and I was like, oh, Gil got taken. Oh, you know, I feel bad. I was like, oh, man.
Oh, Gil, he's so stupid.
God, this didn't happen. Come on, man. No, it did. I mean, I honestly, it was so shocking. I feel like there's got to be a lot more to the story that we don't know now, or we may never know. Either that, or the Mavericks GM just didn't understand what that value of this asset was. Luka Doncic was the fourth most valuable asset in the NBA, as far as I could tell you. Wemby's first, clearly. After that, it's Jokic and SGA, probably tied second, and then Doncic was fourth. And I think the idea that they got back what they got is kind of insane. They must have either known that there was a very low likelihood he was going to sign the Supermax and they were going to have to, they just wanted to move on before the other shoe dropped and he got in even worse shape, or he got a more serious injury, or something else was going on, because the balance sheet does not make sense at all in terms of compensation here. I think the Lakers now are the third best offense in the NBA, but their defense is pretty laughable as currently constituted. They're probably not done. They're not a team that I think is very likely to win the West at all. The Mavericks are maybe a little bit higher floor now with Davis, but a much lower ceiling. And I think this basically makes the West, the Thunder, to lose pretty clearly. And if there's no kind of if there's no sleeping giant of the Dallas Mavericks being the team that we saw at the end of last year, then actually this makes me, ready to load up on Celtics title. Celtics are a bet for me tonight against the Cavs. Celtics in general, I think, are going to be a pretty healthy favorite for me in the series against the Cavs. I think you're seeing some signs that they're getting into a little bit of like flip the switch mode. And maybe I'm, you know, projecting a bit after watching what was three lifeless quarters against the Sixers. And then all of a sudden, okay, fine, we'll just win by eight.
Amazing, by the way.
That's wild. Yeah. It's wild. But like, you see that and you're like, oh, okay. Like, so there is something there. They're just dinking around. Yeah, I mean, my numbers always say bet the Celtics every time I look at the futures board. This has been the case now for like four seasons, so I'm just kind of immune to, inured to it. Now that I think the Thunder come through pretty likely in the West, and there's no kind of potential for a rematch of last year against a Mavericks team that has a little more experience and a little bit, more opportunity to find a fit, then, yeah, I think this is a Celtics repeat.
Yeah, what Drew's referring to is the Celtics were losing to the Sixers on Sunday by 25 points late in the third quarter, and I want to get this right. I think it was a 51-17 run.
Sounds right. Oh no, I was very excited to be getting NBA live betting text from Gil Alexander. I was pumped about that.
I was going crazy. I was like, "Are you watching this? This is just like they are just." It was just okay. We'll start to play them. Yeah, and I'm no Celtics fan, but it was amazing. Anything else besides that tonight in the NBA?
The other two bets I got, I took the points with the Brooklyn Nets against the Houston Rockets. 9.5 is a bettable number for me there. Rockets are a great team, but this is a bad spot for them, particularly on the road as a 9-point favorite. And then I laid it with the Indiana Pacers. Pacers doing a little switch flipping of their own last night against the Jazz. I do think they match up pretty nicely against this Portland team, though. So I laid the 5.5.
By the way, I had that wrong. It was it was exactly right. 51-18 run for the Celtics to grab right up in the game.
Drew, what is your fair price on Thunder to win the West? What do you got for that? Because I actually got involved with them yesterday.
I'm at -130 for them right now.
Yeah. Okay. I bet +115. Yeah. I like it.
I don't think there's a single series that I wouldn't make them at least -400.
What is your level of bitterness here? You and I had a most improved player conversation early in the year. I had a bet on Norm Powell at 18-1. Norm Powell is now the favorite.
And rightfully so.
But you had Franz.
He should have been an all-star. I don't know why he didn't get an all-star in the league, man. That was weird.
You had Franz. Wagner, and he got hurt. And that's really why Powell remains the favorite now, because Wagner missed those games. Your level of bitterness, sir.
Yeah, no, I'm over it. Very over it. Yeah, no, very clearly over it. No, I think, honestly, I would shop around. I know that Cade Cunningham is another popular pick there. I think the bet is probably Mobley right now at price. I think the fact that this tends to go to a first-time All-Star and Powell didn't get the nod maybe does kind of influence things. And there's also a world where Powell's role kind of changes a little bit as the Clippers go through this next iteration of who they want to be heading into a playoff run. So I think you made a great bet when you got Powell, but I think a lot of the NBA awards markets are a little soft right now. MVP and Defensive Player of the Year and Coach of the Year are probably a wrap, but all the rest of them I think are wrong.
This is gonna get so awkward down the stretch for me and you. I got Cade, you got Norm. Oh boy, is this gonna get awkward.
Yeah, things typically get awkward between us, right?
Evan Mobley is down out to 60-1 now.
I don't understand that.
Wow.
And if you had to make one bet right now, Drew, if I force you to one bet in one award market, it would be?
Oh, Super Sub B's in the sixth man of the year for the Pistons.
Say again?
Malik Beasley.
Okay, I was going to say for those. Malik Beasley. Those are like, what did he
Super
just say?
Sub.
10-1.
Super Sub, sixth man of the year.
10-1.
I'm into him at 30-1, and I think that's coming.
Okay. Drew, enjoy New Orleans. Stay out of trouble.
Best of luck, guys. Have a great week.
You too. More on Super Bowl 59 on the other side. It's a numbers game right here at VC.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is your final week to save $59 on the VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up with promo code ANG. For just $181, you get a full year of VSiN Pro, including daily best bets, there'll be cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits for DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video with full access to the Visa Watch app, and all our betting guides. All of that, VSiN.com/subscribe with the promo code ANG. Here's our big game coverage on Sunday, by the way, from 8 a.m. Eastern all the way through to cashing out with Joe Cirillo in the dead of night here, 1 a.m. Eastern, late Sunday night, early Monday morning. And then we'll be back Monday morning for a numbers game To recap Super Bowl 59.
That's right.
Before I take off. But you and I, we're on 1 p.m. Eastern on Super Bowl Sunday.
I wonder what time I'll get out of here. Because I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that stupid thing, Gil, where I bet you I end up hanging out here for too long. And then I have to rush home to make sure I like get on the couch for the game.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys a question. Why do you? It was my fault that time. Yeah. It's my fault that time. Two promos in one, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Abrams, the author, keeps lobbying to get on our show on Sunday. He says there's great
hedging. We only got an hour.
He's like, I got great hedging stuff. I got to read his book first.
He goes, book
I
first.
I said to him, I got to read your book first. And his response to me was, well, I guess I'll talk to you in 2026 then. Because it's so dense. His book is so dense with mathematics.
By the way, if you brought up a book to me, that could be your response with any book. It could be like, it could just be like a book for a fourth grader. And it could be like, I'll check it in 2 years.
Oh, man.
I have so many books sitting on my desk that I've read like 5 pages of. And they've just been sitting there for like 3 years.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, there's a lot of these. C. Spackler. No draw bet on the coin flip. I can't find a bet for the coin to land on its edge. Color of Gatorade, but no coin edge. The whole thing must be rigged. Bruce Dobigan, Miles Garrett, or Kilometers Garrett, as he's known in Canada. Get it? As announced, he will use the Super Bowl coin flip to determine whether or not to leave Cleveland. Heads he leaves, tails the Browns have to trade him. Russell Ambrose, makes sense now why Drew never responded to my DMs about the NBA rest angles last week on Twitter. Yes.
That's not the reason. No, he reached out to me separately and told me that he just hates you, Russell, specifically. He saw it, just
now
purposely.
Now I'm glad we asked about Drew on yes, Twitter, because now somebody's not angry at him anymore.
Mm-hmm. What a fake out by Drew. Just going to the local La Quinta down the street and just hanging up some New Orleans pictures and pretending to be in New Orleans. Like, hey, what a move by him, you know?
Shrek McPhee, tennis plays today, kind sir, and also Brian Schaefer, Gil tennis picks. Yes, I forgot. We do have one tennis pick this morning. By the way, that CLV, like 21 cent CLV, didn't do us any good yesterday because we got beat in the Aruze match. I am on Sarah Cerebes Tormo this morning. Sarah Cerebes Tormo, who's about to take on Anna Blinkova. That is at the that's in the indoor tournament once again. I'm struggling. I'm looking for edges on the outdoor hard yet, but it's no edge so far that I can determine. So we're still on the indoor hard. So I'm on Sarah Cerebes Tormo right now. You can get her a better price than I got her at. Subscribers got her at, I want to say, +110, was it last night? I'll check on that. I think she's like +125 last I checked. So this one went against us. So maybe the anti-CLV will work out for us in this case. This is from, appreciate all the feedback from everybody. This is from Wet Willie Colon. Yes, I would agree with Drew that if you remove the greatest quarterback of all time and the greatest coach in the last decade, the Eagles should be 3-point favorites. Did he really just make that statement? Jason McKinney.
Yeah, I mean, his statement was he knows he's going against the greatest coach and quarterback of all time.
No, I understand the reaction, though. Again, people get angry. Jason McKinney, Jerry Jones trading Parsons for Garrett not to be outdone by his NBA counterpart in Dallas wouldn't surprise me. Jesse Welch, I just heard the terrible news, yes, out of Josh Harris, and I'm so sorry, Gil. Fish taco holders forever now. Sorry, man. Yeah, in case you're wondering what Jesse's talking about, they're going with Commanders. There will be no name change.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm not too happy. Only way you could make me happy is you get back to RFK, though. Yeah, just do that. Michael Lafon, a dominant running back has yet to hurt the Chiefs in this recent playoff run. Derrick Henry looked unstoppable in the 2020 playoffs, and the Chiefs gave up 76 yards. James Cook, McCaffrey, and the Ravens last year didn't hurt Spagnuolo's defense. So Michael Lafon saying, forget Saquon. Odell mentioning that you can get a 14-1. What is this now? Oh, Saquon, pardon me. Saquon, 150-plus rushing yards and 200-plus rushing yards. So circa has Saquon rushing yards and sort of ranges.
Mm.
Yes, on the 150 plus is 3-1. Yes, on the 200 plus is 14-1. So you can actually do better is what he's saying. 14-1, 200 plus, as opposed to that DraftKings number, 11-1 breaking the record. Thank you,
great
Odell.
Catch. Great
Thank
catch.
You, Odell. I had to navigate through your tweet, but yeah. I got your point there. D-Gen Southern Gent, one childhood experience forever etched in my memory bank. Monroe County Middle School's Do Your Best Dirty Bird competition back in January 99. Sounds silly, and it was, but that unlikely Super Bowl was a great moment in time for Falcons fans. Yet the Dirty Bird, Jamal Anderson and the Falcons, who could not quite get it done against the Broncos. Jeff Cam, great interview with Drew. Enlighten me why people go to Radio Row for big game but never stay for the game. Because media people, they're too cool for school to be at the actual game. They want to go back and watch it in the privacy of their own homes. A lot of people do that. They go to Radio Row and they're... Also, there's another reason. It's much more simple than that. You know what it is? They ain't got tickets
to
the game.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. A lot of us can get credentialed for Media Row. You're not getting credentialed for the game, though. No, there is limited seating. That's how that works.
Fake follower. I love that Boston-Philly game. Got it at 16-1 with 7 minutes to go, but cashed out at plus 1450. I wasn't going to press it. Enjoyed it very much. Great show. I had the Boston multiple in games in that contest. It was awesome for those who were betting it.
Gil didn't even have to text me those words, and I knew that.
Yeah.
I was like, Gil got involved. And then when it texted me like a second or third time, I was like, Gil got involved in a significant position, I think. Yeah.
I was loving it. Roger Jones at Bronco Win. Sorry, Kelly, that it's already halfway through Tuesday, but freelance producers suggest segment Big Game Licks, L-I-X. Feel free to explore. Not sure what he's suggesting there. And 3JackH3131, grab Tormo at plus, Cerebus Tormo at plus 125 this morning. What's this big game you keep referencing, and why can't Kelly watch the big game in public?
I like to be alone. Don't you? I like to.
Oh, I have to.
Like, I like to watch
for
the
playoffs.
Game.
Yeah. I can't be around anybody.
Sorry. Yeah. Especially like Super Bowl parties.
Do you genuinely expect that Monday morning guessing lines magic to occur if I'm in around 50 other people?
That is right. That's exactly right. Like, I'm sorry. I love you. I might love you, but I don't want to go to your Super Bowl party and then get trapped by like your brother-in-law in some conversation for like 17 minutes during the game about like, about whatever.
Kelly by the line, you finally pulled the trigger on Pat Mahomes MVP.
Yeah, I'm in. There was a plus 125 here in town.
Ooh, give me that.
Yeah, I think it's plus 120 here behind us at Circa, plus 125 over at Westgate. I got involved. That was too much. Interesting comments. I think that we're still hearing from multiple bookmakers about they think that this is going to close Eagles favorite in this game.
We had our first tick to one.
To me, Gil, I wasn't surprised to hear that. Like last week, but now we're getting closer to the game, and there has been very little movement except for that small tick from 1.5 to 1.
Yeah.
So I don't really know if, especially with all the public betting coming in this weekend, like, do you expect that? I don't know if I expect that.
I thought the Drew comment about apathy was pretty interesting. Like, people are more interested in talking about the NBA trade, and people were actually down there at the Super Bowl. Anyway. I'm with you on Mahomes. I'll grab that number. Plus 125.
I do agree with what Drew's talking about with betting MVP live. Like, I think that's a good way to attack it as well. But
books have MVP up live?
I think especially for us, I think it's limited options.
I do too.
So
we don't have it here.
I'm jumping in with plus 125. I didn't bet it that big anyway, so I wouldn't be opposed to adding in game.
I think the DraftKings and FanDuel's of the world might have it, but I don't think we have it here at all.
I don't know that I've noticed that in years past.
Now, and then I say that, and then I'm wondering, did I actually ever look? Probably not.
I know, that's the problem, right? Like, Caesars not. And MGM, they might have been doing it for the past year or two, and like I would have no idea, because we wouldn't think to look.
Yeah.
Because we get conditioned not to look for these things.
Did you add any other prop bet?
You know what I did? Okay, I got a couple. Also, there's one. Steve Fezzik just texted us a little bit ago to Steve on Friday. I think I'm going to need a kickoff breakdown. I know he loved that at the beginning of the season, but I just saw so I did the full Vegas scan of, was checking through everywhere yesterday, and then picked up on a couple bets that I ended up liking. But opening kickoff to be a touchback, I just saw it's minus 280 at DraftKings. I saw a way longer number or better number than that if you were looking to play that in town. It was like minus 200 or something. So I'm kind of interested in that. I didn't bet anything with that, though. The couple game props, I want to see what Gil Alexander thinks about these. Both teams to score a 1+ touchdown in each half. I'm in on. Yes, minus 115. I lean a little bit to the over, so I like the touchdowns for each team. And will there be a 2-point conversion attempt? I love this, Gil. Cannot believe it wasn't the favorite. I went and checked a national book where it was the favorite at, but yeah, I'm in on the yes on will there be a 2-point conversion attempt.
I like the 2-point conversion attempt one. I do, especially with the Eagles.
Right.
Being involved.
They are the second, the team that went for to the second most times in the NFL this season.
And both teams score 1+ touchdown in each half. The instinct is yes, I like your bet. And then I think about it and I'm like, could you get torpedoed? You could, but I like the bet. I do. Yeah.
Gil Alexander, seal of approval.
I don't know. Not as if I'm like racing to.
I would have
one.
Your on the yeah. 2-point conversion. I like, one. I like that one.
We'll come back. A little Super Bowl history, halftime included. Next on a numbers game.